Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Children in some countries love to play the game of hide and seek. The leader stays in one place called the base, covers his eyes and counts out aloud while the other children find places to hide. Then the leader goes searching for the hidden children. While the leader is off looking in one direction, some of the children, still undetected, try to run back to base before being caught. King Saul and David were playing a similar game, only this one was deadly serious. If Saul and his soldiers were to catch up with David, they'd kill him. So David and his men travelled from place to place in the rugged mountainous regions of Judea. To get on good terms with the king, some people living in those parts told Saul they knew where David was hiding. But each time Saul went out to look, David's spies told him in advance what Saul was doing. So David had moved in time and hidden elsewhere. One time Saul and David were camped on opposite sides of the same mountain. A messenger came to Saul saying the Philistines were attacking Israelite towns. So Saul returned to protect the people of Israel, leaving the search for David for a little while. Another time, Jonathan, Saul's son, came to visit David and encourage him.
Has the king actually left the royal palace and come after us?
Our spies report so, sir.
King Saul himself or his general?
The king himself, sir.
Well, then we'd better keep on the move lest he actually catch up with us.
David, come quickly. One of our outpost guards approaches with a prisoner.
Oh, those colors of his uniform. He must be a...
Why, that's Jonathan. Jonathan!
David! Oh, I have had a terrible time getting here, but now that I'm here, it was worth it. Oh, it's good to see you again, my friend.
I'm so happy to see you, Jonathan, and surprised. Is our place of refuge here so well known that it's possible just to walk in?
Oh, no, David. It is not. Believe me, it is not. I had a hard time locating your camp.
But if you can find it, so can your father, the king.
Oh, he won't, David. Have no fear of that. The hand of my father Saul will not harm you.
What?
You will be the next king over Israel. My father knows these things, and that's why he's insane with anger and ceases not to attempt to put an end to your life.
But what do the people think about it? Do they complain that the king spends more time and energy hunting me than he does fighting the enemies of Israel?
Yes, but what good does it do? In his younger days, he was a good man, a good king. Power and greed and pride have made many good men travel the path of evil.
But then I fear for myself that when I become king, I too will forget God and seek only power and influence.
There's only one way to ensure against going on that downhill path to oblivion. Prayer, daily devotion, obedience to the will of God, and dependence upon the power of God.
Jonathan, my friend, I love you. I respect you. You're my best friend. But never before have I realized that you are such a deep thinker.
Oh, am I?
You are.
David and Jonathan's friendship had remained very strong since the time David had killed Goliath. They made a covenant or verbal contract together that they would take care of each other. Jonathan recognized that David would be the next king of Israel, so he made a further covenant with him just after King Saul sought David's life at Ramah. When they parted at the beginning of David's flight from Saul, their agreement was extended to care for each other's families in the future. Now that Jonathan had come to visit David in the wilderness, David was very pleased to see and talk with him. Before parting, they again made a covenant before the Lord. Jonathan, although the crown prince, put himself below David in rank and made it quite clear that he, Jonathan, would not trouble David when David was king. In the Old Testament, there are a number of covenants between God and individual leaders. The first one, with Adam, held a condition that Adam and Eve were not to touch or eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And after they broke that condition, God promised Satan's defeat. There were also covenants made between God and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David. Many of these agreements contained promises from God that did not have any conditions upon them. God's covenant with the crowned King David was reaffirmed by a number of leaders after him. This covenant was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was raised to life again. Jesus was a direct descendant of David's. Even though it took 1,000 years for God's covenant to David to be fulfilled, God never failed or forgot his promises. The friendship between David and Jonathan was based on their love for each other. A famous preacher once said, "Friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not found a friend." And no doubt David was growing weary of his lifestyle of constantly moving and always trying to be one step ahead of King Saul. If we want to have friends, it's important that we are friendly ourselves toward others. We must not be so concerned with our own activities that we fail to show genuine interest in other people. Yet far more important than having earthly friends is our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we start this? The Lord Jesus is the Lord of glory, the Holy One. So great a lover of us people is he that he allowed his lifeblood to be shed for us so that God's justice against our wrongdoing would be satisfied. Jesus took our punishment because we couldn't pay for our own sins. Our sins deserve death and never-ending separation from God. So we do not come into a friendship with the Lord Jesus as his equal. We need to humbly ask him to be not only our friend, but also our Lord and Savior. We do this by believing that he paid the price to clean away all our sin. This is called saving faith. Some people are well aware that the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the world, yet they do not want to receive his blood applied over their spiritual lives. They refuse to bow down to Jesus or receive his free gift of forgiveness. While they seem to get away with such responses now, there will come a time when their rebellion will be judged. Then, sorrow upon sorrow, they will be cast into the place of eternal torment. If you know someone resisting a commitment to the Lord Jesus, please pray for them often. How do we keep our friendship with the Lord Jesus alive and active? When we first ask Jesus to be our Lord, he gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us and guide us away from wrong. Continue by talking to Jesus often in prayer. Even if you can't close your eyes or bow your head, pray and talk to him in your mind. Much of our wrongdoing starts with thoughts in our heads. Think about the passages of Scripture that you have read. Ponder the meanings and ask the Lord if there is something that you don't understand. When the trials and troubles of life come along, we can trust our all-knowing Savior to be our friend and to know what to do. In the Bible book John chapter 15, the Lord says, "My commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I call you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father." Friendship with the Lord Jesus means hate for the bad things and selfish ways of this world, which desire to draw us away from obeying him. Does this mean hating people? No. We are to pray for our enemies. Some, we hope, will be saved from their evil ways and receive God's forgiveness. A lonely man in the 19th century wrote out these words, and they became a favorite hymn. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer."
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. By me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you, added to you. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One.
fly, and years of life will be added to you. By me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you, added to you. The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
That was Chris Christensen singing The Fear of the Lord. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.